Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
Happy Life Day, Justin!
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Yeah. I mean, there comes a time in every man's life when he must evaluate one's friendship with another human being and decide if it is worth continuing on in that friendship.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary.
Now.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to the bad movies yet.
Just tell our listening audience what the hell we just watched.
Well, I did.
No.
And now we're going to get into it.
Yeah, get into it.
Oh, for those boy, of you just howdy. Tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to You Want Me to Watch What? Where Justin and I challenge each other, recommend to one another, sit in joyful expectation with one another, movies that have slipped under the radar. Sometimes they're very popular movies that we just haven't seen. And sometimes they're not super popular movies that we just haven't seen. In this case, this month, this week, we watched the 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special. A movie so bad, it isn't good.
That's a quote from Carrie Fisher, I believe.
Yeah. It is Life Day. Chewbacca, accompanied by Han Solo, his faithful companion, are heading home to Kashyyyk. I don't know how it's pronounced. It says Kashyyyk in the movie, to get back to Chewie's family to celebrate Life Day. And they escape, and then we go to, I guess, Chewie's home, to his wife Mala, his father Itchy, and his child Lumpy.
Yes.
And it is important to state this out front. There are no subtitles.
No.
And the Wookiees speak exclusively in Wookiee.
Yep.
So there are large portions of this movie that is just grunts and growls. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that as a parent, I understood the tones that Lumpy was using to his mother and the tones she was using back at Lumpy.
Oh, yeah.
The parent-child relationship is universal, and I understood that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So this is it's a holiday special in the grand style of the 1970s, where really you just fill it with a whole bunch of movie stars, TV stars, and you loosely connect a whole bunch of individual skits.
It's a variety show.
In this case, the individual skits are all vaguely Star Wars related. Star Wars tangential? Star Wars adjacent.
Space themed. Some of these could have easily fallen into the Star Trek holiday special, if such a thing existed.
Well, except Gene Roddenberry had some sense of propriety.
This is true.
That's why it took until like 2 years ago to get the Make It So, Make It So, Make It So video.
Yes.
Anyway, Mala, Chewbacca's spouse, is concerned because Chewie's not back yet. Contacts Luke Skywalker, who is wearing way too much eye makeup.
And that hair.
And doesn't blink.
No.
I don't think until the cartoon.
Yes, they finally animated Luke Skywalker blinking. But Mark Hamill apparently was told, don't blink. or the Wookiee gets it.
The Weeping Angels. The weeping angels are coming. Don't blink.
Don't blink.
So, Luke tells her, don't worry about it. He's always made it. Cut to Art.
Now give me a smile.
Yeah, give me a smile. Oh, some of that's just kind of hurtful, isn't it? It's like, we have come a fair way since 1978.
Yes, yes, we have.
We've not come far enough
yet,
but we've come a long way.
Yes.
And we can look at this and go, that's not quite, that's not where we want Luke Skywalker to be.
No.
That's where he was. Luke Skywalker now is different.
Yes.
Now he's grumpy.
Yes. Because he had to do this.
Probably. You know, Mark Hamill has said that he's never actually watched the whole thing. He's only watched the cartoon part of it. He hasn't watched the whole thing. And Han Solo does, Harrison Ford hasn't admitted that it exists or that he's been in it. And Carrie Fisher held her commentary for the original trilogy hostage, saying she wouldn't do a commentary until George Lucas gave her a copy of the holiday special so she could play it at parties when she wanted people to leave. But we're off topic.
Yes.
Mala contacts Luke. Luke says she'll be there, tries to reassure her. She contacts a local trader who is part of the resistance, played by Art Carney, who tells her that Chewie's on his way. He'll be there. And then Mala tries to prepare a meal because it's life day and you got to do the cooking. And so she turns on the television or the wall screen.
Yeah.
And we get our first Harvey Korman skit.
Yes.
Harvey Korman, who plays Chef Gourmanda, a four-armed cooking, show.
Yep.
Personality?
Yes. Let's go with that.
It's repetitive and awful. It's bad.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be funny, but even in the 70s, this wasn't funny. On pot, this would be funny.
Yeah.
But alcohol can't make this funny.
And we didn't have any of that either.
We didn't. It wasn't cold yet.
No.
So I suppose we could have had some neat, whiskey.
Yeah.
Right? Next time.
Yes, next time.
She's unsuccessful because Mala only has two arms to, Harvey Korman's four arms. And then we get Sandan showing up again, Art Carney showing up again with presents, which includes, some a toy for the kid and a computer TV thing for Mala and softcore pornography for Grandpa.
Yep, because that's what Itchy wants.
That's what Itchy wants. And that's what Itchy gets.
Yep.
A virtual reality fantasy program featuring Diane Carroll. And it's not something you watch with Grandma. Unless you're Grandpa.
Even then, Grandpa wouldn't watch it with Grandma. Grandpa would watch it alone.
Yeah. The 70s was fun.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently.
So while this is going on, and then some stormtroopers show up because Han and Chewie, they get to Kasuk, but there's so many Imperials that they have to land far away and try to make their way back. We don't get to watch any of that story.
No.
That's the exciting story.
Yes.
Instead, we get to stay in the tavern and watch the barmaids.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that's a scene that shows up toward the end. Stormtroopers show up. They're looking for resistance. And as they search, Art Carney's trying to distract him. And so then we get a video by Jefferson Starship, which I told you, I have no idea who that is or what they're about.
Okay, brief.
we need a brief history brief lesson history. Just to...
So Jefferson Starship started off life as Jefferson Airplane in the 60s. Played at Woodstock. Very, very popular.
Right on.
There were some fallout with the band members, and so they went on to become Jefferson Starship. Well, including most members from Jefferson Airplane. Well, there were some more fallout, so then they just became Starship.
Okay. So this is before they broke up the second time.
Yes.
Right. Well, they sing a song. And when the music finishes, they all go away.
Yes.
And the Imperial Stormtroopers, they start going away. And then we get a cartoon. Lumpy is needing to be distracted.
Yes.
Because Lumpy is getting on
a
the
child.
Is a child getting on the nerves of the adult Imperials. And as a child is bound to do. And so they set Lumpy up and the viewing audience to watch a cartoon of one of Chewbacca's adventures.
Yes.
A search for a talisman and the Millennium Falcon crashes on the water moon of Panna.
But it's more of a pudding poon. Yeah, more pudding spoon.
A pudding poon?
Pudding moon.
A pudding, yeah. It's very thick pink water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very viscous.
And
I can say viscous, but not pudding moon.
Well, you know, broadcast standards have gone up.
Yes.
Sorry, Darren.
Hi, Darren.
Anyway, they get... Chewbacca basically gets in touch with the princess and through Wookiee speak, shows that Han is hanging upside down in the Millennium Falcon. They don't know why. Something's gone on.
Yep.
So Luke and R2 and C-3PO race off in a Y-wing in order to go and rescue them, where Luke runs into Boba Fett. Boba Fett's like, yeah, I have no love for the Imperials, and they're going to help find the antidote to the poison that's made Han fall asleep, and then Luke falls asleep, and it only affects humans, and somehow Boba Fett is not falling asleep.
Because he's not human.
I didn't know that.
He's Mandalorian.
Oh.
That's a different species.
Well, isn't Han Solo Corellian?
Well, technically, Luke wouldn't be human either. He's...
He's yeah. Coruscantian?
Yeah.
Or Tatooine?
No, he wasn't born on Tatooine.
So he... No, but... You know, his father was
Tatooine,
and his mother's from Naboo.
Yeah. Half,
so, Naboonian?
Yes, half Tatooinian and half Naboonian.
Natoonian?
Natoonian, yes.
Yeah.
He's from Neptune.
Taboonian. He's Taboo.
Well, he did kiss his sister.
Ah. So he's Southern. I didn't say how Southern.
The views expressed by Chad Savage in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the Geek Cave Podcast Corporation.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, they get back. We find out that Boba Fett's actually on the payroll of Darth Vader. He escapes because he's got to escape because he's got to show up in the next movie.
Yes.
So, they blast off using the jetpack. We'll meet again, friend. And the heroes head back. End of cartoon. Fun fact, the cartoon is supposedly on Disney Plus now. It's the only part of the movie, the holiday special, that's been re-released in an official form.
Because it's the first appearance of Boba Fett.
Probably. Also, it's probably the best part of it. Outside of the animation.
Yeah.
Animation's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad for the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, it might fit in with some of the squiggle animation that happens now, but... Oh.
No. Yeah.
Oofta.
Oofta is correct, yes. Please keep going.
Yeah. So after the cartoon, Lumpy goes up to his room to work on a translation device, and we get our second Harvey Korman skit where he plays a malfunctioning robot trying to teach you how to put together a... Magnavox Odyssey.
Yes.
That Lumpy then uses to make it sound like the Imperial forces are saying, everybody go back to base.
Yeah.
All right. Then we get a big old announcement, and the Imperial forces are going to show us a scene from Tatooine in one of the cantinas, and we're going to watch first Harvey Korman get shot down. By B. Arthur.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Yes.
which is sad and funny, like kind of scarily good.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that was handled. And then they're told that there's going to be this great big, there's going to be a curfew, shut everything down. And B. Arthur sings a song to the cantina song, mm-hmm. slowed down.
Yes.
You know, that the cantina's closing. Good night, but not goodbye.
Yep.
It is the most emotionally impactful scene in the yep. entire. B. Arthur, my God, what a treasure.
Yes.
You know, so that all gets done just in time for Han and Chewbacca to return to, you know, kick the stormtrooper off the side of the house and way down there. And everybody's reunited. They all go to another dimension, to the Great Tree of Life, so that they can hold glowing orbs and appear in red robes. And have kind of a dream sequence. C-3PO and R2-D2, Luke, Leia, and Han show up and have a stoned out of her gourd Carrie Fisher sing a song to the Star Wars main theme, mm-hmm. slowed way down.
Yep.
Then Chewie has flashbacks to the A New Hope.
Yep.
And credits. That's the movie.
Yep.
An hour of 43 minutes of life. Day. So, should we just start by saying the guest stars do a fine job?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, Art Carney does a great job.
Yes.
You know, as the fast-talking salesman, trader, you know, dude who really kind of touches on his old honeymooners kind of thing, you know?
I honestly believe that of all the, quote, guest stars, and I'm excluding Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher because they're canonically... Right. Of all the guest stars, I think Art Carney was the only one who knew he was in a Star Wars thing because he had to interact with the Wookiees. Everybody else was probably just told, hey, we're going to film this weird space futuristic thing.
Oh, yeah. Harvey Korman has no idea what's going on. You know, and if he does, he doesn't care. You know, you could have lifted any of Harvey Korman's bits and put them in the Carol Burnett show.
Yes.
And it would have still fit in as a weird, you know, lesser sketch.
Yeah. Oddly enough, the order of appearance of Harvey Korman ranks the segments, in my opinion.
Is that right?
I enjoyed the first one, the cooking one,
yeah.
the most. The middle one, where he was the malfunctioning robot, was, okay. The third one was just, what the hell?
The one where he's the love-struck the dude that drinks through the top of his head?
Because it was kind of cringy. I'm just like,
Oh, yeah. It's cringy. But it's also there to set up Bea Arthur as the character she is.
Yes, I understand that, yes.
So, and Bea Arthur's bit is, to me, the best bit in the
piece.
You know, so it's like you've got all this cringe-inducing everything until the end. And then at the very end, you've got this, I kind of want to know more about, you know, the cantina and what's going on here. And why? Show me more of this. now it's over.
This is the Rogue One of the 70s, where it's Star Wars in the Star Wars universe, but not involving a Skywalker.
But here's the thing. Unapologetically, this is not a good movie.
No.
It's not good. Objectively, it is bad.
Everybody involved says so.
And I think that everyone should get together with a friend and watch it once. If you've got Star Wars people, you owe it to yourselves to just once. I will never ask Justin to watch this again. Never. The only way that we're possibly going to be in the same room for this going on again is when we con Darren into watching it.
It's going to be more bribery or trickery.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not above shenanigans.
Cool.
You know, I draw the line at plots, but
Scheming, no. Shenanigans, yes.
You know, we're friends.
Yes.
But it is such an anomaly in the Star Wars stuff, because I'm on record of not liking most of the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
I really like the original trilogy, and everything that's not the original trilogy, I'm just like, yeah, that was an okay Star Wars thing. Yeah. I get it. There were laser swords and some fights, and somebody pushed a thing using mind powers. Star Wars.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You know, put laser swords in Carrie, and I'm just assuming that it's another Star Wars thing. Yeah. Anyway, it's not good, but it is funny in that way that it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Where you sit with a group of friends, you get everybody just a couple of drinks, a bag of chips, and enough plastic, you know, on the floor that you can throw shit at one another, and it's a good time.
I think that's what we were missing. More drinks, more food, and lots of plastic.
More people. Minimum 4 people in the room.
Yes.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Better if it's 4 couples.
Yeah.
8 people in the room, where you've got people that are really people who are good at bouncing things around.
Yes.
You can't say Pudding Moon. I can't say anything else.
Fair enough.
I can talk good. I talk words good all the time.
Mm.
So, what's...
I agree. I agree with you. If you are a fan of Star Wars, specifically the original trilogy...
Mm-hmm.
You should watch this if you can find a copy. You should watch this just for the sheer what the fuckery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not watching this for the performances. You're not watching it for the plot.
No. Because it is one of those things where you will come away with this for a better appreciation of the budget that Lucas had for the movies.
Yeah.
It's, if you never see this, you are not missing anything. But if somebody comes to you in a dark alley and opens a trench coat and they happen to have a copy of it hanging inside, going, hey, I could hook you up.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
There you have it.
There you have it.
You got an idea for next time?
Oh, yeah.
All right.